Malachi chapter 2, the second controversy that is set before us in the prophecy of Malachi is that beginning at verse 6 of chapter 1, going through verse 9 of chapter 2. Notice that it has to do with the priests in verse 6 of chapter 1. It speaks of, O priests. Now in chapter 2, continuing along that line, it says, And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Now, it is especially for them, but as you read it, you understand it is for them as representatives of the people. This way, if I ask you about the judgment seat of Christ, you would say, It's in 2 Corinthians 5, and it's also in 1 Corinthians 3. You build gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. But the ones there that are spoken of as building gold, silver, and precious stone are the servants of the Lord. But still, they are representative of all of those that do work. And so while it is speaking, in particular, of the priests, we'll see that they are the priests in particular and as representatives of the people. And so in verse 1, And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. And it speaks about cursing their blessings. He's done it already. And then in verse 5, My covenant was with him, with Levi, of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear. And he feared me and stood in awe of my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The word means my messenger. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger. And now 2:7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Verse 8. But ye are turned aside out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble in the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept thy way, my ways, but have had respect of persons in the law. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we read of, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, in thy word, and we read, Thou wicked and slothful servant, Lord, thou dost have commendatory things to say, and thou dost also have rebukes. We desire, from reading of the criticisms that thou hast heaped upon others, to avoid these criticisms, to eschew their ways of departing from thee. And what we want most in life is thy smile upon us, as we live, and thy well done after we die and stand before thee. Let us know that this shall be realized if we are obedient, if we be willing, and so by thy Spirit work upon us. As the psalmist says, Turn us, and we shall be turned. And so, Father, let us know what we are by nature, but we are thankful that by nature also now thou hast imparted to us a divine nature, and thou canst work upon that. So work upon us for good, and make us like thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Most of the time, if someone were speaking about the priests in the Old Testament, and they would draw a picture so you would understand their duties, they would have the tabernacle or the temple, and you would see the priests dressed in their special array, and they would be with animal sacrifices ready to offer them upon the brazen altar, or you would see one with incense going into the golden altar. You would see them carrying on these functions as the priests of God, and that is one of their functions. But there is another duty of the priests that was just as necessary, and this one was not the ritual that was carried out of offering these lambs and offering the meal offering and carrying on all the ritual associated with the tabernacle. But there was also the responsibility of teaching those people that brought the sacrifices so that they might not have to bring those sacrifices again. As it says in 1 John, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And just as those priests on earth were the advocates of the sinners, but the priests were to teach the people so that they would not have to offer sin offerings, but teach the people so that they would offer burnt offerings and offer peace offerings and those of that nature, so that praise would be given to God, free will offerings, things of that nature. And so the priest's duties were not only at the altar, but they were also in places wherever you might see them. And these people were consulted. I want you sisters to remember this, because it speaks about the women keeping silence, and if they would learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. And some smile and say, "I have no husband." Well, God has made provision for that. It says in Ephesians 4 that Christ has given gifts unto the church, and you have the right to ask a gifted man to the church if your husband does not know, or if you do not have a husband. And so the responsibility of those in the Old Testament was to carry on the ritual, but at the same time to be preachers of the Word of God. Now, most of the time, we think of the prophets standing up, proclaiming the mind of God. But you will find that the ones that did it more systematically were not the prophets, but they were the priests. This is what is so remarkable, is that there had to be those that taught the people daily and in a systematic way the things that were right and the things that were wrong. And this is what is being brought out in Malachi chapter 2. You find them carrying on their ritualistic duties and how they had failed in them. Instead of looking at a diseased offering that was brought, an imperfect sacrifice, and saying, "God will not have that." That is what they should do when they attended to the rituals. They did not do that. And in like manner, they had failed in their responsibility to teach the spiritual precepts of God as well. Well, and so they had failed at the altar, and they had failed, as it were, in the schoolroom, and God told them to be faithful in both areas. They had failed in both areas. And here is something that most of us do not associate with the priest, but God told us it was the duty of the priest. It says, "The priest's lips should keep knowledge." Now, I want you to see, I won't turn you to many passages, but at least one to show you the great importance that the priest of God had in teaching what was right and what was wrong. Turn to Deuteronomy 17. And remember this, because if someone asked you, what were the duties of the Old Testament priest, you're liable to think of them offering the sacrifices. That's all that you're liable to think of. But in Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 8. if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and thou shalt inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment, and thou shalt do according to the tenor of the sentence which they shall show thee from that place which the Lord shall choose, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they teach thee, according to the tenor of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not turn aside from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand nor to the left, and so forth and so on. And God says the priests are they that decide. Whenever there was a matter of an animal being clean or unclean, being acceptable or unacceptable, the priest always made the decision. When anyone had leprosy and was cured of that leprosy, the priest said, "You have leprosy?" He looked at him and said, "You have been cured of leprosy." All of these responsibilities are in the hands of the priests here, in addition to the judges. Now, God had prophets. They spoke the word of God. He had judges, just like Samuel. Do you remember? Samuel was a judge, and he would teach the things of God, but the priests especially are pointed out, and there are other references, and I will tell you this one for the sake of time. God tests the priests. He said, put this question to the priests. He said, if someone has holy flesh in his skirt, and this holy flesh touched something that is unclean, does that make the unclean clean? And the priest said, absolutely not. And then the question was asked in a different way, and this was answered in another way. Why? Because the priest had to make all those decisions. Someone would come and say, I have done this. I have acted, behaved in this way toward my neighbor. Is it right or wrong? And the priest should be able to turn to the law of God and say, you have done wrong, or there is nothing that you have done wrong. I borrowed my neighbor's ox, my neighbor's ass, and while it was in my field, it died. Do I have to give him money for that ox or ass? And then I could give you the details, and the priest was one who would teach them what was right and what was wrong. What was a stroke for a stroke? Plea for plea, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, the priest did all the deciding. Now, in like manner, whether we realize it, there are the people of God also today, the Lord's teachers and those that are gifted to know the things of God. It speaks of the elders being counted worthy of double honor, especially those that rule well and those that labor in word and in doctrine. And so there are the elders today, just as there were the priests. We're all priests today. But among the priests, then today, there are elders and teachers, and the responsibility of teaching what is right and wrong among the people of God is their responsibility. Now, I'm wondering, do you do that? It said that these priests, in contrast to the ideal priests that God speaks of, would pervert justice. When a man that was wealthy and could give a bribe would come along, they would make a pronouncement even if the man were guilty of innocence. And if there was someone who were poor and could not bribe them, if they disliked them, then they could say, this man is guilty. It was in their power, and God deplored such things. But then there were others that would speak righteous judgment, and God is pointing out these. Now, look at verse 5. It says, concerning Levi, it says, my covenant was with him of life and peace. But look at 4 now, because I want you to see that when it speaks of Levi, he can be a person, or he can be representative of persons. Like I told you in chapter 1, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Not speaking of Jacob as an individual and Esau as an individual, but the descendants of these men. Even though it would have to include them as individuals in some way. I can't get into that now. But look at verse 4 in chapter 2. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant may be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear, and he feared and stood in awe of my name. Now, when God does something for people, when God promotes a man, sometimes it has a salutary effect upon a man's heart, and at other times, it does nothing for him at all. These priests, this covenant of Levi, of life and peace that God had given, it meant nothing to them. They said, what a weariness this responsibility is of taking care of the altar. Ah, they snuffed at it. It was contemptible. And God recognizes their attitude toward it. But God said, I have given the priesthood to Levi that they might fear me. And it says that some of Levi feared God and stood in awe of his name, but not these priests. And this is what some fail to understand, that God gave a special privilege to Levi, and of the Levites, there was one family, the family of Aaron that had the priesthood, and the other descendants of Levi had the service of the tabernacle, and Moses sharply delineated between the service of the tabernacle and the priesthood, and he understood the exalted privilege that was those of being priests. And Korah, his cousin, said, all of us are holy. You take too much on yourself. We're going to be priests as well as you. And God said, oh, no, you are not. And so there were some who understood this exalted privilege that was theirs to be priests and to attend the altar. And it says, some feared God and stood in awe of his name. And others, what a contemptible thing it is. And I say this, that as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is something that I marvel at continually, how God not only could lift me from the dust and the dunghill, but that God could promote me to the place of teaching other people the ways that are found in his word. I stand in awe of his name because of this great honor that God has given me. It is not a weariness. It is not something that I snuff at, but it's a great honor, and I stand in awe of God for this. This is the effect it should be. But there are some ministers that are bored to death, and they bore people to death. They simply carry on their work because I have to make a living some way. And this is how it was with these priests. Why do you function as a priest? He would say, I'm a son of Aaron. I'm a descendant of him. And it's the only way I can make a living. This is what God has done. The other tribes, they can do certain things, but I as a priest, I have to function this way. But the table of the Lord, it's contemptible. It's a wearisome duty. I say the most joyful duty and the most exalted duty that I can think of among men is that of teaching the word of God to the people of God. Now, it can be exhausting as you try to get the truth from this word, but never do you snuff at it. Never do you say, what a weariness it is, but it's a great honor. And you stand in awe of this responsibility because God is going to hold me accountable. Be not many of you masters, not many of you teachers, my brethren. You shall receive the heavier judgment. And the Lord Jesus holds you elders and all of us who seek to teach. He holds us responsible for what we tell the people of God. And he holds us responsible if we do not tell the people of God. You say, well, what does it mean? It means that we have to fulfill the work that God has given. Do you remember Archippus? And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And so here is a man that's gifted of God, and he says, I'm not going to fulfill it because I won't fulfill it well. God says, take heed to it. And so we have to do what God has gifted us to do. And yet, here are they that are carrying on in the perfunctory, wearisome way the duties that God has placed upon them. And God notices it, and he tells them of others. He sets good examples before their eyes, examples of those that were descendants of Levi, who did carry on in a reverent way, and to whom the covenant of life and peace meant much to them, caused them to fear God and stand in awe of his name. Now, last week I told you this, that the one who was the epitome of Levi in this case was Phinehas. You find him in Numbers 25. But you're liable to say, then it's speaking of Phinehas, not to the exclusion of others, because I want you to see this. Turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. You remember that Aaron made the golden calf, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, and the judgment of God has fallen upon these people. And it says in Exodus 32, verse 25, and Moses saw that the people were broken loose, for Aaron had let them loose for a derision among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, put ye every man his sword upon his thigh, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell, and so forth, and so on. And it is recorded again when it speaks of Levi in Deuteronomy 33. We shan't turn to that now. It records that none of his relatives, his dearest ones, were sacred in his eyes. Why? Because they had sinned, and the judgment of God had to fall, and God never forgot it. And so for all of those who say mercy prevails, love prevails when someone sins, God says, no, judgment upon sin prevails. When a man turns from sin, show mercy. But when a man persists in staying in sin, there is no mercy for that man. Read 1 Corinthians 11. You will see whether God will tolerate sin. And so, when it speaks of Levi, it is not speaking of the individual Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, but it is speaking of the descendants of Levi. And let me show you something that is humorous if you don't know how to read the Bible. You'll find in 1 Chronicles that it says, and Aaron and his sons and the descendants offered the sacrifices of God upon the altar. And this is 400 years after Aaron has died and gone to heaven. And yet it says, Aaron and his sons, you say, his representatives, of course. It speaks of them that way, and you have to read it and understand. And when it says, Levi walked with me, it is not speaking of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, that individual, but it is speaking of those descendants of his, because Levi knew nothing about the priesthood. The priesthood was given to his descendants. You have Levi, who has three sons, and then they have sons, and then you have Amram and Jochebed, who have Moses and Aaron, and the priesthood begins there. But it speaks about Levi. The priesthood is given to Levi. That is what you have to understand. And when it speaks of those of whom we read in Exodus 32, and Phinehas, of whom we read in Numbers chapter 25, these are ideal descendants of Levi, and they are the ones that God rejoices in. And he says, you are representatives of Levi in a bad way, just as those in Exodus 32 and Numbers 25, Phinehas, are representatives of Levi in a good way. And the hope is this. Look, in verse 1 of chapter 2, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you, if you will not hear so and so and so. And so, but here is a charge to them to draw them up short and to bring them to their senses that they might imitate these men. Now, I told you that the responsibility of the priests, their lips were to keep knowledge. And I'm going to let you hear about the man after Phinehas who executed the judgment of God, and God was pleased with him, another man who carried on this ministry in an ideal way. And so turn to Ezra chapter 7. Don't lose your place here, but turn to Ezra chapter 7. And while you're turning there, listen carefully. It says, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Remember those words. And now, Ezra chapter 7, and let's look at verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Now that's beautiful. At last, after these contemptible priests that we have in the book of Malachi, though at a different time, at some times God has commendable representatives of Levi, and then condemnable representatives of Levi, but when it comes to Ezra, notice, it is not just that God said, "You are to do this," but it says in chapter 10, 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." Do you think that just because a man was born of Levi, that he intuitively knew everything that was contained in the Bible, could interpret all the laws? Of course not. Ezra had to learn what God's law said, and he had to set his heart to do it. And all of you elders, and you who are responsible here, and you're going to teach others, tell me, why do you think you're able to teach them? Do you think that you just intuitively are able to do it? Even a man who is gifted from God, he has to study diligently. In his law must he meditate day and night. You have to set your heart to seek the things of God. And that is what Ezra had done. And what is so beautiful about Ezra is that he was trying to find out what God's law taught. And having learned what it taught, he was determined to do what it taught. And having learned the truth, he was going to do the truth. And after that, he was going to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Would you listen to such a man? What about those who know the law of God? What if you thought I knew the scriptures, but you knew that my life was contradictory to all the truth that I tell you? How much respect would you have for me, and how diligently would you listen to me? You say, small. True. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says. Let me just read you this for the sake of time. You don't need to turn to it, but I'll read you the words. "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes, and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things therefore whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with their finger." And yet the Lord said, they know the word. All that they bid you to do, you do it. When the enemies of Christ were asked, where is the Messiah to be born? They said, Micah 5:2, born in Bethlehem of Judea, thus it's written. And so the wise men learned where he was to be born, and those that knew where he was to be born did not go to see the Messiah that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, but they knew. And so there are some who study God's word and they know it, and the Lord Jesus acknowledges that. He said, but don't you copy their lives. What is ideal is a man like Ezra, who seeks his heart, who sets his heart to seek the law of the Lord. So this is what God wants me to do. And then he's going to do the law of the Lord. And having learned it and having practiced it, then he stands before the people of God and he teaches it. That is the ideal. And unless a minister of God is doing that, then he is not fully the minister of God that he should be. And this is what the Lord is talking about. And there were such as Phinehas and Ezra and those in Exodus 32 who did such things. They would carry out even if it hurt their dearest friends. And here it was not hurting them mentally, not wounding them because of the truth of God's word, but they actually took a sword and put them to death. And sad as it might seem, if there are those who are morally reprehensible, even though your friends and closest relatives, they have to be dealt with. Because if not, you are not Phinehas. You are not faithful representatives of Levi. You are those who corrupt. You are those who say, well, he's a friend of mine. He is a relative of mine. I can't pass this judgment on him. Then God would condemn you. And look at this. This is what happens when a man fails to do what he should do. Verse 9 in chapter 2. Therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have had respect of persons in the law. And I think of those who, unlike us who gather to the name of the Lord, those who have priests, and they look at them, and they are homosexuals, and they are abominable, and at the same time, they have modernistic preachers and others who are lewd in their behavior and sinful in their teaching, and they despise them, but they can't do anything about it. And yet God has made them base in their eyes. And here are these priests, and they could say, here is that pedigree. We have ascended from Aaron, and they had a right to minister. And yet God said, yes, you are doing it. But think of one whose life was so contrary to what God taught in his word, and you had to go to that man and say, offer this animal for me for the forgiveness of my sins, and he was more of a sinner than you. And yet he was the only one that could offer that sacrifice. God said, I made you contemptible and abominable in the sight of the people whom you serve. And I think of those who in the denominations have certain men, preachers, and they look at them and they despise them and they're contemptible in their eyes. And it may be that among us there are some that we tolerate, but it should not be that way. But if a man's life is not in harmony with what is taught in God's word and what he teaches, then that man will be reprehensible in his sight. Now, this, in verse 6, it says concerning these ideal ones, the law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in him. You came and asked a question, and the man told you the truth, no matter how painful it might be. No unrighteousness was in him. Do you understand that this man who has contributed so much to your support, that he does something wrong? Now, what is your judgment? You see that that man, though rich, has done wrong. No unrighteousness is in your lips. You say, he is guilty. He shall be dealt with. This is the punishment to be meted out unto him. And that is what God admires. And now, it speaks of this. It says concerning the ideal descendant of Levi. Look at the middle of verse 6. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many away from iniquity. Now think of this. God recognizes the actions of the priests down through the years, those good descendants of Levi, and it says that he walked with me and turned many away from iniquity. Then that's what you and I are to do. We're to support one another. We're to exhort one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to restore one another. We're to turn one another away from iniquity. Have you done that lately? Do you realize that the teaching that I give you, it is to turn you away from iniquity? And it may be that there are sins that you would have committed, but God opened my mouth and spoke his word unto you. And his word that is like a sword and a hammer, it turns you away from iniquity. And I don't know anything about it, but God does. And these people who were speaking and pleading with the people to walk in the way of righteousness, it says they turned many away from iniquity. And we don't know who they are, but God knows. And here are priests that were doing what they should do, and they turned many away from iniquity. And that is what I am to do. I am to turn sinners away from iniquity by preaching the gospel. And I am to turn Christians away from iniquity by preaching the way of righteousness. And that's what I've done on Wednesdays. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is not tolerating any kind of sin. And my little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin, that you sin not. And so as God's word is preached to you, it has a power in your heart, and you are turned from iniquity. And then God notes it in heaven, notes that you turn from iniquity, and he notes that one of his servants did that through the preaching of the word, and he turned many away from iniquity. And this is what is so beautiful. It says that the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. But here is Ezra, who is walking with God, because he's going to do what he learned from the book. And so here is one who not only knew what was right, but he conformed his life to what was right, and God puts it this way, he walked with me. It says this in 1 John. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But it says, Levi walked with me. He is one who told what was light, and he walked in the light. And it said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so the same kind of walk that begins in Genesis 5 and is continued in Genesis 6 and is culminated in Malachi 2, because it says that Enoch walked with God. It says in chapter 6 of Genesis that Noah walked with God. And it says here concerning Levi and those like unto him, Levi walked with God. Now, Enoch was an individual. Noah was an individual. And while Levi was an individual, all of those like unto this ideal one, they also can walk with God. And so the great honor that is mine is to search out what the word teaches and then to obey that word and teach it. And when I do those things, then God will say of me and he'll say of you, you walk with me. To obey God's word is one thing, but to enjoy the teaching of God's word, to do it and walk with God and enter into it and have these spiritual exchanges with God, I will sup with him and he with me. These are blessings that are ours. And so the covenant of life and peace was with Levi. And so God also has given a covenant with us. And he calls us to walk with him. Enoch, Noah, Levi, and by God's grace, you and I shall walk with God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, what a portion is ours. Thy Son said, to this end have I been born, and to this end have I come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Thou dost know the ones of us who have heard his voice. Thy Son has told us what the truth is. And having heard the truth, some of us have conformed our lives to it. We have walked with you, not only done what you've told us to, but enjoyed it, our God, and walked with you and looked forward to your coming and walking with us, as you did with Adam and Eve in the garden, and as you did with Enoch and Noah and Levi. And our Father, we pray that this shall be the longing of our heart. Let us seek the law of the Lord to know what it says. Let us seek the law of the Lord to do it, and then seek the law of the Lord to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Help all of those who have that responsibility here to live up to that responsibility, and help all of those who do not know feel free to go and speak to those. May the word of truth, the law of the Lord, be upon their lips, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.